Cliff McCollum. Cliff, good morning to you, sir.
Always happy to be here, Mark. Uh-huh.
Everyone considers him the concierge of the county.
You know, I actually used that phrase to explain my job the other day to some folks that I had met over the weekend that were new to the area. They're like, so what do you do exactly? I'm like, I'm basically the concierge of Baldwin County. You know, if you need some help from any branch of the government, I'll try to figure out who you need help from and point you in the right direction of who you should try to talk to, or even talk to them for you and hopefully get you the resolution that you need. And they were like, well, that's really cool. And I'm like, and I'm pretty sure I could probably get you theater tickets if you needed them. I got a guy.
Okay.
And they were like, well, that's interesting that that's a job. And I'm like, apparently it is.
And well, and apparently a pretty necessary one too, because they keep you busy. So
they do. It's, but you know, honestly, it's fun. It's never a dull moment. I can have a day planned out and have one phone call or one email that will upend everything, and I'll have to spend several hours looking into, you know, barber law, for example.
Barber law. Okay.
So Baldwin County is one of five counties across the state of Alabama that have their own independent barber commission that, like, license and inspect and train barbers, estheticians, beauticians, okay, etc. Well, we got a call from a constituent who was concerned that someone who was going around saying they're the new Baldwin Barber Commission chair was going to raise the licensing fee and do all this stuff to inspect all these barbershops and everything like that, and they had some concerns. So I had to do a deep dive, because I didn't even know we had a barber commission. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. The enabling legislation came from, like, the late 1950s. Mm-hmm. That this thing was set up. And so in order to be appointed to the Barber Commission, you have to send out a registered letter to all of the barbers, beauticians, all the members.
Okay.
Get them to submit nominations. The top three nomination getters you send to the governor, and the governor appoints, right?
Okay.
I mean, pretty standard for boards and commissions. Well, I called the governor's office, the appointment secretary's office, and spoke to a real nice lady there, and, well, Mark, I'll tell you, ain't been anybody appointed to the Barber Commission here since Governor Bentley appointed somebody back in 2017, 2018.
Okay.
So you got somebody out there who is saying they've been appointed to this commission and appointed another member themselves. Mm-hmm. That may not even live in Baldwin County.
A self-appointment.
Self-appointment. And then another person who may not even live in the county. Well, that didn't quite set right with me, Mark. So I might have called somebody I know at the Attorney General's office.
Okay.
And trying to get this person to connect me to whoever. Well, darn if the person I knew in the AG's office, but that wasn't their division.
Hmm.
So sent it up the chain, to their director.
Oh, that's where we have to stop these mad barbers running around commissioning people.
Well, but I mean, if they're taking the licensing fee from like $20-$30 a year to $120, that hurts folks.
And from hundreds and hundreds of people, sure.
Oh yeah, it adds up pretty quick. And so AG's office was looking at it. I looped in our own wonderful district attorney. I can't help but call him Judge, though. He's still Judge Wilters to me, but he's our district attorney now, Bob Wilters. So have looped him in, and we're working on that one. And it'll be, you know, that'll be an interesting story. But yeah, I had to do a deep dive into barber law.
Okay.
And I've had cemetery law a few weeks before that about there was a cemetery that wasn't taking care of stuff. I mean, somebody... guy has been waiting a year and a half to put a headstone on his daddy's grave.
Oh, come on.
And that's not okay.
That's not okay.
No. And trying to figure out a way to help them be able to, like, get into the cemetery, and, like, even if it's them having to fix stuff up themselves, they'd be willing to do it, but finding a way for them to do that. But cemetery law in Alabama is very complex.
I
thought, okay, well, maybe it's near a municipality, maybe it's in the city limits, try the weed abatement ordinance. Well, it wasn't in the city limits. And it's not in the part of the county that's zoned, so they can't use the county weed abatement ordinance to get in there and try to fix stuff. So made a few phone calls. There's a lady that's on our Lee County cemetery commission back home in Opelika that I know really well, called Miss Edna, and she said to call Mr. Trant, who owns a funeral home back home, and he's a good family friend. I called Bill. He used to be on the funeral services board. Bill goes, well, it's tough to get that done, son, but, you know, it's using connections, trying to find ways, and we're still working on that one, but we're gonna get it done, because I just don't like the idea of somebody not being able to have a headstone on their parent's grave for a year. That just don't set right with me.
Is it in a cemetery, or is it
private property? No, it's in a cemetery. I mean, this is I'm not going to name names, because
that's fine. It just seems like it would be a kind of a no-brainer that you could do this.
You would think, but I think people sometimes are using this pandemic thing, this continued pandemic thing, as an excuse to not do some of the stuff they need to be doing. I think that's part of the situation there, but we're working on that one, because I like to follow stuff through to the end. Even if I got to call the me of Jackson County, North Carolina, to get a death certificate fixed, and I think we've talked about that one
before. Yeah, we have.
You know, that we'll do what we need to do to get stuff done. And I'll tell you what, the me of North Carolina, She's good people.
Well, I would expect so if she's the you from North Carolina.
Well, I mean, I worry, you know, like I hope they're not too much like me, because there should not be that many me's in the universe.
Well,
like, that's not an okay
especially
thing.
With a beard and all, she shouldn't have that.
No, yeah. I mean, that would look very weird on her.
Yeah.
But Miss Deanna, if for some reason you're listening to a radio station in Fairhope this morning, and you can on the app, because you can listen to the app
that's
anywhere.
Right. You can listen, or tell Alexa, Google, or Siri that you want to listen to WABF 1480,
but
she'll pull it right up.
But yeah, if you happen to be listening, thank you for your help, and I'm sorry I couldn't send you those pecans, but y'all's state ethics law, I think if you'd even looked at them, you might be in jail for a little while.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay. So what you have to do is you have to get somebody else to send them.
Well, no, even that, even if it's just completely unsolicited, some random person just sends you, their de minimis value for, like, gifts is so low.
Oh, wow.
Even something like just, like, a half pound of pecans would trigger it. They'd either have to, like, pay the fair market value for it, or it gets taken to, like, a state warehouse and burned or something. I mean, like, their ethics law is a lot. Yeah, no,
okay.
Yeah, it's really, like, you know, just sending, like, a simple, hey, thank you for, like, helping me help a constituent get a corrected death certificate from a state several states away. Like, here's some pecans, just say, like, you can't, and I'm glad I looked at the ethics law before
too.
I sent it, because I would have hated to have gotten this very nice lady in trouble.
Well, yeah, and I think it should be a crime to burn pecans, unless it's on top of, like, a chocolate pie. Oh, then that is the best. Burn them just a little bit till they're dark.
Look, you talking caramelizing, my friend. That's not burning. That's educated burning.
Okay.
That's burning.
That's controlled burn.
That's burning with a PhD.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what else is going on?
You know, there's been a lot of stuff over the last few weeks, and you know, and we're gearing up for a session to start back pretty soon after the new year kicks in. They go back into session for the final session of this quadrennium on January 11th. So, you know, right now, you know, it's kind of like the preseason in football. I mean, you know, we've had this period where, you know, like in football during the summers and stuff, you'll still have workouts and things of that nature. We've been doing that. But now we're getting close to game time. So it's two-a-days, and it's, you know, making sure you're eating right, doing all that. It's prepping our bills and looking at what kind of stuff is going to be coming from the rest of the state, what big issues are going to be coming up, because normally in the, you know, fourth session of the quadrennium, the final one, especially heading into election, they can sometimes be a little bit tame. It's usually get in, get out, you know, try to, I don't want to say do as little as possible, but not working on anything too controversial, just because you don't want to stir up a hornet's nest, but you know, there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed immediately, and even our own Senator Albritton was quoted, it was either yesterday or the day before, that looking like the gaming bill is going to be coming up again, which I was kind of surprised to see that myself.
So now what are they going to do with gaming?
There hasn't been a bill that's dropped yet, but it will have to be a comprehensive bill that addresses both the paper lottery and casino gaming. Because, and I think I've gone into this before with you, but it always serves well to go through it again, because it's actually a very complex issue. People get a little bit upset, you know, why can't we just have a paper lottery?
Well, I don't think by and large the average person cares about gaming, but the average person wants a lottery.
Oh yeah. And look, I'm right there with them, because having lived in a border area, I grew up in Opelika. We're right there next to Georgia. Anytime the Powerball hit over 50 million, everybody's going. The closest gas station that you can buy a lotto ticket at is connect. It's a little BP station connected to the liquor store, to Frisky Whiskey. Now, why I know that, we won't go into that. But everybody go to the Frisky Whiskey and get them some lotto tickets if the Powerball got up. Same thing down here, being in Baldwin, right here next to Florida.
Right.
Everybody goes over to the Bama and starts getting some tickets. Well, you hate to see that money pouring across your borders.
Oh, sure.
And so, yeah, I look at the polls. You see a lot of people in favor of just a paper lottery. The problem is, if we did just a paper lottery and passed just a paper lottery, cool, right? Except, if we passed a paper lottery, it kicks up the ability of the Porch Creek to be able to move to table gaming in their facilities.
Okay.
And because of federal laws and tribal laws and things of that nature, the revenue from that, we would not be able to get to that very easily. It would actually be a loss to the state. And you have existing
Table gaming would be a loss to the state?
It would, because we wouldn't be able to get as much as we should be getting out of that we could out of. There are also existing facilities in the state that currently compete with those facilities. Victory Land in Macon County, right there outside of Tuskegee.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
Again, growing up there. Okay. Green Track in Greene County.
Okay.
There are some other existing facilities that have different forms of gaming, but if we pass the paper lottery, Porch Creek get kicked up to table gaming, those facilities would no longer be able to compete on the same level as other ones. And because those are different facilities, they're non-tribal facilities, if you do a comprehensive bill, you'd be able to get better revenue enhancements for the state to go into the education trust fund or the general fund. We want to make sure that we're getting the right amount of money for the people of the state of Alabama to help fund the general fund that has every service in the state that's not education, and to fund the education trust fund to make sure that our K-12 and our colleges, our community colleges, are getting the revenue they deserve and need.
Okay, but how does increasing the income decrease the income? This is just me off the top of my head here, but if we add the lottery and increase the spending on the lottery and increase the income that comes in from, how are we going to say, oh, well, we're not making as much money now that we've increased the spending? I'm not following the logic train completely.
Well, okay, and it's a very complicated and convoluted issue. But, okay, how do you lose revenue by gaining revenue?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example. If these existing facilities are not allowed to compete at the same level, you're losing jobs in Macon County, in Greene County, the track over in Mobile.
But at the same time, you're already losing those jobs to a certain extent. If a radio station does well in Macon County, it doesn't necessarily affect me here at WABF, because it's 200 miles away.
Studies have been done that show people are more drawn to the ability to do more different types of gambling and would be willing to travel to do that type of gambling. Okay. Now, also...
Well, and consider that Biloxi is only, what, 60 miles from Atmore?
Oh, so now, I'm not talking about us here.
If you're going to go to Atmore, then why not just go to Biloxi?
We've got a dearth of options here, mm-hmm. but there are other parts of the state where...
But that's the only game in town?
Game in town. Like, take where I'm from.
Okay.
Lee County.
All right.
Victory Land is the next county over. It's Macon County. It's maybe 30, 45-minute drive from Opelika Auburn down the interstate.
Okay.
The closest other facility would be the Porch Creek facility in Wetumpka, the casino there. If they're allowed table gaming, it's a little more of a drive, maybe an extra 30 minutes, 45 minutes to get there. But if they have table gaming, you're going to take that money that would be going... and push it over there. The state doesn't get as much. The people of Alabama don't get as much coming back from
Porch Creek, right? Because it's a completely separate
nation.
It's
a different entity
yeah.
than they would from a Victory Land okay. or a Green Track. And when Governor Riley had those cases against the electronic bingo machines mm-hmm. back when I was in like high school, looking at the impact that had on Macon County, because again, you're right next door, you can see what's going on with your neighbor, the impact that had on shutting down the revenue there, I mean, you had the Macon County Commission having to pull up paved roads and turn them back to dirt because they couldn't afford to maintain them. Cuts to the school system in a system that was already, you know, not entirely well-funded.
Okay.
And had a lot of kids on free and reduced lunch. It was a higher... poverty, it exacerbated an already problematic situation. So a comprehensive bill makes sure that the people of Alabama are getting the money they deserve to get out of this gaming enterprise, making sure that we're able to fill up those education fund coffers.
Okay.
And especially for the general fund, because the education trust fund, the sources that pour into that, they're fairly reliable revenue sources that have continued to grow and grow every year. The general fund, less so. A lot of the stuff that funds that has had declining revenue sources over the years, cigarette tax being a perfect example of that. Mm-hmm. It would give that general fund a shot in the arm to make sure that state services are able to, if at the very least, continue at the same level, if not be able to expand to help folks in Alabama. And that's a you know, things like our Aaliyah, our state troopers out there on the road, and being able to help folks, our ag inspection folks. I mean, last round of budget cuts we had, that was probably 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
the Department of Ag and Industries had to cut all of its inspectors, like investigation inspectors, I guess I should say. So if you had stuff stolen on your farm or something was going weird in your industry, we didn't have the investigators to send out anymore to be able to figure out who done it on some of that stuff. And thankfully, over the years, we've been able to build back a little bit, but we're not where we were. So, again, another shot in the arm, a little bit of extra revenue. We can help solve crimes. We can help, you know, it's a quality of life thing. It makes things better to have more revenue to be able to give back to the people of Alabama in the form of governmental services.
Okay. Okay, well, all right.
Look, I know it's difficult to understand, and normally, you know, conservative folks like us, it's a small government kind of mentality, mm-hmm. but sometimes, you know, government revenue is okay, especially if it's being used to help people.
Well, yeah, it's a little... It's complicated. Yeah,
it's incredibly complicated. And so when people say, why can't we have just a paper lottery, I usually say, do you have 30 to 45 minutes
uh-huh.
for me to be able to try to explain this? And if you still don't understand this, call our office. I'll do my best to continue to try to explain.
As you said, it's the federal regulations that don't have anything to do with the Alabama state regulations that throws an extra
That's the monkey wrench in there. And it's not just federal law and tribal law. It's also court cases that have upheld or struck mm-hmm. down different regulations that right. different states have tried to do. But at the end of the day, you also don't want a monopoly on anything in mm-hmm. the state. I think we can all agree. Monopolies are usually bad, including the board game, because I have had more family fights about that darn board game. We don't play it anymore.
We don't play it anymore.
Because it yeah. usually ends with the coffee table getting upturned and somebody storming off, and that somebody may or may not be me. But
if it doesn't end that way, then you're not doing something right. So
I'm just saying, them interest-free bank loans, eventually somebody catches on, then I'm slipping myself some fives. I'm just trying. Yeah, I'm just waiting to get my federal bailout.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go. Get the there's a cheater's edition of Monopoly that covers that kind of thing. 1480 WABF. We're going to take a real quick break. Check in with Kenny with Skywatch Traffic, and we'll be back right after this. 1480 WABF, and joined by Mr. Cliff McCollum this morning. And good morning to you. And we were talking in the break just a moment ago about marijuana.
Yeah.
And how does the state stand with that? We got the
so the medical marijuana bill was passed in the session earlier this year, this
right.
past regular session. And there are a lot of limitations on that, on what you know, it can only be used for prescribed for certain
right.
Disorders or illnesses. And it set up a state medical marijuana commission. And that commission is in the process of tooling up and getting ready to do what it does, but the governor named the chairman of that commission, and it's a name that should be familiar to Baldwin Countians, especially since it's a name that's been here since, even, I think, before we were even a county or a state. John McMillan, okay. our former state treasurer. He actually had to resign the office of state treasurer to take this office, but John, born and raised in North Baldwin, up there in the Stockton area, and he is the twin brother of the senior member of our Baldwin County Legislative Delegation, Steve McMillan.
Okay.
So we got a friend that's sitting as the chairman of the Medical Marijuana Commission now, so that's good for Baldwin County, because they're going to be not only talking about where it will be able to be sold, but also where it will be able to be grown.
Okay.
And, well, Mark, you know as well as I do, Baldwin County's got some pretty good farmland.
Yeah, we've got some of the best farmland in the world here, in Baldwin County and in the state of Alabama in general.
So, and I know that there are already some farms out there in Baldwin County that are ready to tool up and be able to take on the responsibility of growing this to help some folks in Alabama. So, more to come on that as they are tooling up and getting ready. We're still a little ways out on some of that, but making some forward progress on that okay. particular issue. Although there has been some pushback from a lot of folks, including Tim James, son of former Governor Fob James.
Okay.
Tim, I grew up next door to his aunt and uncle, Cal and Dora, so I've been aware of him for a while. So, you know, they call him Timmy.
Okay.
So I've grown up hearing him as Timmy, so
sure.
I'm like, oh, Timmy's running.
How's Timmy doing? Yeah.
Timmy's running for governor
okay.
again, because he ran back. Let's see, it was 22 minus 4 is 18. Back in 2010.
Okay.
And ran a fairly solid, you know, very conservative campaign. Didn't come out on that one, but he's running again, and he's making some of his issues. There's the marijuana thing, and he's coming out hard against the lottery, and coming out hard against yoga.
Against yoga. Okay.
Well, okay, so there was a bill that passed earlier this year that was carried and has been passionately advocated for by a high school classmate of mine,
okay.
Representative Jeremy Gray, back in Opelika. And it overturned the yoga ban on Alabama schools that have been there since the early 1990s. We had banned the teaching of yoga in schools. And so Gray's bill allows yoga exercises to be taught. Like, you can't use the Hindu names for anything. You can't do the namaste stuff or any type of like meditation or anything with it, but like it's more about like the stretches and stuff, which have been shown to be good for like working out and exercising.
Like, it's shown to be good for pretty much every human being ever.
But it had been banned in the state because there were a lot of folks who thought
they didn't want the philosophy that's attached.
They didn't want the philosophy, and they thought like it was going to convert people to Hinduism. And now you've got. You know,
this is the heart of beef country.
In 2021, you've got churches having yoga classes and stuff. Like our church back home, which is a First Baptist, and you know how staunchly conservative First Baptists can be. They've even had yoga classes. So I think the needle's moved a little bit there, and now you can teach it in schools, and there are a bunch of schools, especially the athletics programs, that are using it as a way to do like stretching and training there, which is beneficial to people. And Representative Gray would know that because that's what he does. He's a physical trainer. Like us, he's been an athlete our whole lives. He's probably one of the best track folks I've ever seen in my entire life.
Okay.
But Cousin Timmy, I can't help it. That's just what I...
Yeah.
He's coming out real hard against that. So he's running against Governor Ivey. He's announced this week, and that'll be fun to watch.
This is WABF Mobile Fairhope.
Thank
Great
you, Lori.
Music and memories.
Don't hurt Hush.
She's going to hear us, and she's going to come over here. We're going to get hit with the purse.
I'm not too worried about it. Marijuana is not a product that I'm ever really going to use. It's not my thing. I tried it a few times when I was in high school. It always gave me nosebleeds.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. Just did. And it's just not my thing. I don't even drink much. So it's not my thing. I just don't care. But I love what Colorado did to increase its revenue.
Oh, it's a huge revenue source.
It's a huge revenue source. And sooner or later, Tennessee's going to say, okay, let's do it. Sooner or later, Florida's going to say, okay, let's do it.
I think
sooner
Florida
later,
probably
Georgia,
before Tennessee, yeah.
Well, we need to get in before they do, because that's, you know, first one in the door is the one that makes the money.
Understand the compulsion, but Mark, Alabama gone Alabama. And there are times with Alabama, whether it's right or wrong, I'm not assigning any type of opinion here, but sometimes Alabama kind of hangs to the back on stuff, waiting to see what happens with everybody else. And sometimes we just get dragged kicking and screaming into doing what everybody else does because the federal government makes us.
Well, okay, but you know what? We also had high-speed internet before most of the country. We build rockets here. We build spacecraft and moonlanders here. So we do other things that, you know, before other people do.
That's the thing. It's the pendulum. Sometimes we do things quicker. Sometimes we do them way slower. I feel like this is just going to be one of them slower things because whether it's true or not, there are certain negative stigmas and connotations attached to marijuana.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with that.
And I blame Cheech Marin and Tommy Chong.
Yeah,
and to a lesser extent, your Kevin Smiths for my generation.
Okay.
But there are connotations attached to that. And it becomes a morality issue rather than a revenue, you know, issue. I mean, look,
I'm not discounting that because I know it will happen. And back in my college days, I watched people just stone out and just be worthless. And so I was actually against marijuana for a long time.
I mean, in Alabama, Mark, we've still got counties that are dry counties.
Like,
you can't even buy alcohol there.
Well,
alcohol, like that kind of prohibition, you know, that was like 100. More than 100 years ago now. If we can't get some folks to agree on alcohol, it's a big leap to get them to come on marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an issue you got to work with within this greater issue as well.
Well, it all comes down to marketing.
Well, look, I mean, let's be honest. There was a time, here in Baldwin County back during the 70s, where if you drove out there in Alberta, just on some of them dirt roads back there that, you know, don't nobody go down too much, you might find some marijuana just growing out there in a field, just out there in the open.
Well,
in fact, it was noted in High Times magazine at the time that the strain known as Alberta Purple was a very popular and well-enjoyed strain of that particular crop, shall we say.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, you know, it's going to be an interesting journey to see. I don't know that a legalization bill is going to come up during this last session. I haven't heard anything on that, but, you know, you can't ever tell.
Yeah, that is very true. Well, we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come back for Swap Shop, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Name of this song is The Wildwood Flower. Now, The Wildwood Flower is an old country classic. It's gained a whole